Okay, so as we move into the end of Shacharis, Aleinu L'Shabeach, the Kolbo writes that the Tefillah of Aleinu was composed by Yeshua at the time that he conquered Jericho. And the Chidah adds that after the Chorban, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted reciting it every single day. The Mati Moshe writes, it should be said with dread and fear, Amen Yira, because the entire Tzva Shemayim hear it, and Hashem stands with his Pamal Yishamala, and they all respond, Ashrei Am Shekachalo, Ashrei Am Shehashem Elokov. And the Ramah says that we say Aleinu while standing, and it should be said with concentration. The Aruch HaShulchan and Siddur Yavit said, it should be said with joy. And the Chayodim tells us, Yeshua signed his name in the first letter of the sentences, albeit backwards. Ayin from Aleinu, Shin from Shilosam, Vav from Vanachnu, and the Hey from Hualokenu spells Hoshea, his original name. The Chidah says, as we said, it should be said with Kavona, with a head covering, because there is no praise like this in the whole world. So great is the praise of Aleinu that it was asked in the Tshuvas HaGaonim, how is it possible that we could say Aleinu in Chutz Laretz? Something so great should only be said and have to be said in a place close to Hashem as in Eretz Yisrael. As we see, Yeshua only said it after he entered into Eretz Yisrael. And Rosh Shimshon Pinkas says that you see from the question how great this tefillah of Aleinu is, as there is no other tefillah that there is any thought of not to say it in Chutz Laretz. And only here at Aleinu did they think one could only reach the depths of this tefillah in a place like Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Pinkas tells us that the Iker reason for saying Aleinu is a protection for our davening. He brings a mashal. He says there was a person who was granted permission by the king to enter into his treasury and to take precious stones and diamonds. And he went in and he took enough to last him a lifetime. However, he was worried to leave with all of it, as there were some ill-repute people that will see him and steal it all from him. So he made himself a cover that would cover all the jewels, and he would be able to arrive home safely. Rav Pinkas tells us that a Jew davens the whole davening. He builds this complete building, and now he should be worried that when the mazikim will see him, they will become jealous of his davening, and they'll become jealous of him, and steal the treasure that he has acquired. So he protects himself with these praises of Aleinu, which creates a wall from these mazikim. And Rav Pinkas asks on this, he says, we know that no one can take even a hair's worth from someone of what's coming to him. So how is it possible that the mazikim can touch anything if it's coming directly from Hashem? And if they can't steal what we received, how does Aleinu protect our tefillah? So he explains that there are two purposes in davening. The first toelas, the first purpose, is our bakashos, our requests, which comes due to our davening. We ask for health, parnasa, success. The second toelas, which is more precious, is the closeness to Hashem that we reach during tefillah. And the kochos of the sitra achra, of the yitzahara, is that it brings all these different shtuyos and hevli olam into a person's mind, into a person's head, with the purpose just to confuse a person and have him be mesiach das from what he gained through the davening and the meeting with the king. And through this, they are able to steal what we accomplished through our tefillah. So we say Aleinu, which brings the pasuk Shehem Ishtachvim Lehevel Vorik Vad Nachnu Korim, and then Ein Od. And with this tefillah, we're saying that all the Hevli Olam are just Hevel Vorik. There's nothing to them. There's nothing but Hashem, Ein Od Molvado. And with this, we set up a mechitza between us and the Hevli Olam, so we don't allow them to mess with our minds and the ability to recognize the greatness of Hashem, of Ein Od Molvado. Rav Pinkas continues, he says, the Griz says that the whole koach of the Yetzirah is only through koach hadimyon, the power of illusion. Really, it has no power, but Hashem gave the Sitra d'Achra the ability to blind the person and make him think he was the one who accomplished. Kochi v'otzim yadi asali esachayel hazeh. So now that he has the ability to make one think that he is the one doing things, now he could get one busy with many tirdos. How will I deal with this situation? What will I answer him? This all stems from the I and the one taking care of this. These are my problems. So if a person says with strength that all these things are hevel v'rik, and there is no mamish to them, so memela he will easily reach the Hashem Hu Elokim Einod. So the Sitra D'Akra therefore won't be able to affect him, since he has everything, since he knows everything is coming from Hashem. So we leave davening with the feeling that we are completely in the Chasdei Hashem. So Aleinu is our wall between us and them. We are not like them. They on the outside pray Lehevel V'rik, while we on the inside are Vanachnu Korim, we bow Mishtachim of Neimelech Malchei Amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, this is the praise of all praises. As we are inside and say Einod, while the Sitra D'Achra is on the outside. So Memela we find with us all that Shefa from the closeness we have come to with Hashem. And the Bach explains that we say Aleinu at the end of davening before heading back into the world to strengthen our Amuna in the oneness of Hashem. And that He will eventually remove all the gods from the world and perfect the world with His sovereignty. Bolstered by this declaration of faith, if we happen to interact with members of other religions and see them succeed in their affairs, we will not attribute their success to the deities and be tempted to stray from Hashem, even in thought. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch tells us that the first paragraph of Aleinu proclaims the difference between our concept of Hashem and that of the other nations, while the second paragraph, Alkein Nekavolcha, expresses our confidence that all of humanity will eventually recognize His sovereignty and declare its obedience to His commandments. However, this does not imply a belief or even a hope that they will convert. Rather, they will accept Him as the only God and obey the Shivas Mitzvahs B'nei Noach that are incumbent upon all the nations. So we say, Shelo Asanu Ki Goye Harotzos, Velo Samanu Ki Mishchos Adama, Shelo Sam Chalkeinu Kehem, V'Goralenu Kechol Hamonam. The Chayodim writes that each of these four phrases hints to one of four ways that Klal Yisrael differs from all the other nations. The neshamos of Klal Yisrael were designed from the divine light of Hashem, as it says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The souls of people of other nations were designed by Hashem through the malachim that govern the affairs of those nations, and the four elements that make up the world. And we find the term Asiya associated with neshamos, as it says, Vesanefesh Asher Asu. Therefore, the statement of Shelo Asanu Kigoye Harotzos hints to the fact that our very souls, our neshamos, are different from those of other people. All other peoples follow the laws and customs of their countries, while Klal Yisrael follows only the Torah. The term Sima is used in reference to Torah and Mitzvos, as it says, Shom Sam Lo Choku Mishpat. So the words Velo Samanu Kimishbechos Hadama mean that Hashem did not place our lot with the national customs of other people, but only with His Torah and Mitzvos. Each of the nations of the world is ruled by a ministering angel, but Klal Yisrael is under the direct rule of Hashem. And Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer writes that when Hashem dispersed the world's inhabitants, when they attempted to build the Tower of Bavel, part of the punishment was that Hashem drew lots with the ministering angels, and each nation fell under the rule of one angel whom they serve, except for Klal Yisrael, who fell under Hashem's sovereignty. And the fact that we are Hashem's lot is described in the words, Shelo Sam Chalkeinu Kehem, V'Goraleinu Kechol Hamonam. And lastly, the lands of the world were divided among the nations according to what was appropriated to the rulership of their ministering angels. Klal Yisrael received Eretz Yisrael, which is sanctified with many kinds of Kedusha. The special land that we inherited is also hinted to us through the words of Shalosam Chalkeinu Kahem. We say Shehem Mishtachvim Lehevel Vorik Umispaolim El Lo Yoshia. The Siach Yitzchak tells us this was in the original version, but was deleted from most Ashkenazic Siddurim. And he says it was in the year 1400 that there was a baptized Jew that slandered this passage, stating that the word Varik, which equals 316, is the same numerical value of Yeshu, who was their leader. So even though the charge is refuted time and time again, the church, backed up by the governmental enforcement, had it deleted. And Reb Shul Leib Diskin and others have said that this passage should once again be reinstated as part of the Aleinu. And then Al Kein Nekavalacha is we now daven for the conditions that will best enable us to serve him. Specifically, we ask that he removes all the vestiges of Avodah Zarah from the world and thereby perfect the universe through the Almighty Sovereignty. And this includes everything that's alien to Torah. And when this happens, the rest of this field declares exultantly that all the world will accept Hashem's reign and will serve him. We then go into the Shir Shel Yom. And the Ramah tells us that each day we recite at Shachris the song that the Levim sang in the Beis HaMikdash on that day. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that why is it only at Shachris and not at Mincha also. So he says, Mincha, we know, corresponds to the daily afternoon offering, during which the Levim would sing the Shir Shel Yom during the Nisach HaYayin, as they would do by Shachris. However, it was common that the Nisach HaYayin to be delayed until nighttime, if the Kohanim were busy during the afternoon. And in such cases, the Levim then would not sing the Shir Shel Yom, as it cannot be sung at night. Therefore, we only recite it by Shachris, as it was always recited by the Levim in the morning. And the Kaf HaChaim explains, he says, we mention at the beginning of each day, we say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, using the Mechilta, who derives from the Pasuk, it says, Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, that we should not count the days of the week the way all the other nations do, such as Sunday and Monday, rather we should count how many days it is from Shabbos. And the Ramban explains that we're commanded to mention Shabbos each day, to ensure that we will not forget Shabbos or confuse it with any other day. Because by remembering Shabbos constantly, we're reminded of the creation. And we constantly recognize that the world therefore has a creator. And that he commanded us to make Shabbos as this reminder. The Kaf HaChaim adds that all brachos and spiritual light that we have through the entire week comes from the Shabbos. And therefore it's important to connect the days of the week back to Shabbos. And he concludes, he says, that we should remember that this concept is one of the 248 mitzvos aseh, and therefore we should be careful in counting the days in this manner. So why were these specific prakim chosen for the Shir Shel Yom? And the Gemara explains that on the first day of the week, the Levim said, L'Hashem Aretz U'Meloa, because on the first day of creation only Hashem existed, and he then created everything and gave it over to mankind. On the second day, they sang Gadol Hashem U'Mehul Ma'od, because on this day Hashem separated between the heavenly and earthly components of the universe, and he ruled over both. However, the fact that the seat of his holiness is in Yerushalayim, that is why we make mention of Yerushalayim in this parak. On the third day, they recited Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel, because Hashem caused the dry land to become visible and fit for habitation. And it would eventually be inhabited by Klal Yisrael who follow the Torah's laws and deal justly with other people. And therefore the Perek speaks of justice. And the Marsha explains that the maintenance of equity and justice is a prerequisite for the continued existence of the world that was revealed on this third day. But this does not apply only to courts, but to every Jew in his own personal life where he is a judge, for his opinions and decisions about people can affect their lives in a thousand different ways. On the fourth day, the Levim then said, Kel Nekamos Hashem, because Hashem created the sun, the moon, and stars. But instead of recognizing them as Hashem's servants, man eventually came to regard them as independent gods that should be worshipped. And because of this Avodah Zarah, because of this idolatry, Hashem will eventually take vengeance upon them. On the fifth day, they recited Harninu Lo'akim Uzeinu, because Hashem created birds and fish, which bring joy to the world. When people see the vast variety of colorful birds and fish, they are stirred to praise Him joyously with song. And then on the sixth day, they sang Hashem Moloch Geos Lovesh, because Hashem finished creating everything, and He became king over all of His creations. And this parak describes Hashem in His full grandeur and power, as He was when He completed the 6 days of creation. It also describes Hashem as donning His grandeur and girding Himself like one who's dressing in a Shabbos finery. Then comes Enkel Elokeinu, and the Ramo rules that we say Enkel Elokeinu prior to reciting Pitam HaKetores, and the Noda Behuda explains the reason for this is because Chazal teach us that when one brought the Ketores, he became wealthy, and therefore prior to reciting Pitam HaKetores, which may also bring a reward of wealth, We remind ourselves that Hashem controls everything. And if we become rich, it's not as a result of our endeavors. Rather, it is a gift from Hashem, and we should thank Him for this privilege. And the Rambam continues and says one should not say it bal peh, but should read it inside. Since we are worried, one might skip one of the spices, and if one skips one spice, he is chayiv misa. And therefore, the Rambam says, the minig is not to say it during the week, because we are hurrying to work, and one might come to skip one of the spices. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's proper then afterwards to say Parshas Haman. And the Mishabur explains that, again, this portion strengthens our faith in the fact that our livelihood comes through Hashem's direct supervision, as we see in the Pasuk, V'lohedev hamarbe v'amamit lohechzer. And this reminds us that putting extra effort into earning a livelihood will not help us, because each of us has a certain amount that we are destined to earn, regardless of the amount of effort we put into our work. And the Rambam then ends and tells us that as one leaves shul, he should say, Hashem necheni b'tzidkasecha l'man shoreroi hayishar lefanai darkecha. That Hashem guide me in your righteousness because of my watchful enemies, make your way straight before me. And we should then bow before leaving. And the Mishnah Berurah says this emulates the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, after which one would bow before he left. And the Magen Avraham rules that one should walk out backwards and not turn his back to the shul when leaving. And before we close with a story and the homework, as we have come to the conclusion of Shacharis, so I just want to be Makar Tov to Hashem for giving me the ability to be able to have, you know, worked through the davening, been able to, you know, give over things that hopefully have helped others within their davening, and Bezer Hashem, we will continue, hopefully into Shabbos davening some. But just the fact that I've had this ability for 2+ years, and the schus of having you guys come, certainly, hopefully shows, that we've accomplished something, and through this accomplishment, hopefully Hashem will answer the tefillos that we always have Latova. Now, after the sin of the Egel, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Vata anichali. Hashem said, let me be so I can punish Klal Yisrael. And Rashi tells us there that Hashem was telling Moshe that, if you daven, you can save them. So the Bayam Derech asks, he says, how can Moshe's tefillah have prevented punishment? We know Averos need tshuva to become erased. So how could tefillah alone have prevented Hashem from punishing Klal Yisrael? So the Medrash tells us that when Moshe was up in Shemayim getting the Torah, Hashem showed him storehouses that were filled with rewards and blessings. And the largest of all these storehouses, Moshe was told, is Hashem's Otzer Matnas Chinam, the storehouse from where Hashem grants blessings for free to people who do not deserve them. And Rabbi Chesko Levenstein explains that under the standard system of reward and punishment, every blessing has a cost, and a person's good fortune could deplete his schusim. But there's another system, the system of matnas chinam, where Hashem dispenses brachos free of charge. A person can access this system by approaching Hashem and begging like a pauper, asking for a handout, saying, Hashem, I know I don't deserve anything, and everything I have is only because of your kindness, but please show me even more kindness. And this kind of tefillah can bring us endless brachos without depleting our schusim. And indeed, the Medrash relates that Moshe made requests of Hashem and repeated his request many times, but his request was denied until he said, Eini mevakesh el miotzel shel matnas chinam, that I'm only asking from the storehouse of free gifts, and this is the best tefillah of all. However, this tefillah is only effective if one truly believes that he does not deserve anything. And the way a person can determine whether he truly believes this is by his reaction when he does not receive what he wants, whether it's in the area of shidduchim, parnasa, health, or any other area of life. If he becomes angry and says, why am I not getting what I ask for? Or why does everyone else have it but I don't? Then he is working under the assumption that he deserves that which he is asking for. But if he says, Hashem, you give me so much, and I will never be able to repay you for all the kindness you do for me at all the times, and if I don't get what I'm asking for right now, I won't feel cheated, then he truly believes it. This can also be determined by a person's reaction to any blessing or good fortune he receives, even something simple like a good meal. If he feels grateful and says, "Thank you, Hashem, for giving me so much, I don't deserve it," then he truly believes that everything he has is a matnas chinam, and can then access the otzer matnas chinam without losing anything. And the Vayom Derech explains that this concept applies by averus as well. We do not fully understand the gravity of an avera, and it makes no sense to our limited minds that we can do tshuva for them. But we can understand that although we do not deserve it, we can beg Hashem for this matnas chinam, that He save us and help us with His infinite kindness despite our being unworthy. And the realization that we're unworthy is all Hashem requires for us to access this storehouse of bracha. And that's what Hashem was indicating to Moshe, that He can daven and thereby prevent the negative effects of the Aveira. And when we begin in Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Atachonei Lodam Das, acknowledging Hashem is the one who's giving us this wisdom without deserving it. And this is the only bracha, which we had mentioned, that starts with a praise as opposed to starting with a request. And the Chiddush Yerim explains that this bracha sets the stage for all the requests that we then submit. And once we recognize that everything is a free gift from Hashem, we will then be able to access everything else we request as well. And at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei 2, we say, Aseh Laman Shemecha, Aseh Laman Yeminecha, Aseh Laman Teresecha, Aseh Laman Kedushasecha, acknowledging that all the requests we've made will be granted not because we deserve it, but only because of Hashem's kindness. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that one who recites these words with the proper understanding will be granted the privilege of beholding the Shekhinah. And therefore, you know, may we all be able to truly recognize that we really don't deserve anything, and in that way be able to get the Otzer Shel Matnas Chinam. And as, you know, we're sitting, you know, we just passed Purim, which, you know, was the Yom of Tefillah, and as we're coming into Nisan, which we know is the month of the Geula, if we, you know, turn to Hashem and truly look to Hashem and say, you know what, we probably don't deserve the Geula. You know, if we look around what we're involved in, what our priorities in life, you know, it's probably true that we don't deserve the Geula. But if we look at Hashem and say, you know what, Hashem, even if we don't deserve it, but do it for your sake, do it as a matnas chinam, maybe this year, the month of Geula, the month of Nisan, will truly be the month of Geula with the Bias HaMashiach. And the homework, obviously, is, you know, at least once to think about the Aleinu, think about one of the Yoms, and then obviously on Shabbos, since as Minhag Ashkenaz, we do not say Enkel Elokeinu, to at least go through the Enkel Elokeinu with a little more of a slowness and understanding of what we're doing in that tefillah, as opposed to just the typical running through. And in that way, you know, we've at least hopefully touched and grown in many different aspects through our Tefillah Shacharis.